Well, the sermon title is, And So It Begins. And for those of us who have been through a Lent or two, we can perhaps even say, And So It Begins again. Well, what's the point of Lent? I've been wondering off and on about how to approach Lent this year from a personal perspective, and then also what we would talk about here. And it pushed me back to the beginning of the whole thing. What's the point of Lent? Why do we do it? And a coworker was asking a few questions about it that were helpful in helping me rethink some of these things. And some of the mechanics of Lent, they weren't entirely sure of this. It's a why is it 40 days? Does it have something to do with Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness, in his testing or temptation, depending on which translation you use? And I said, well, yes, that is where it comes from, or at least that's part of it. The number 40 has a number of significant appearances in Scripture, all the way, as we read last week, where Moses was on the mountain for 40 days. The Israelites wandered for 40 years. 40 is a notable number in Scripture. And so picking up on that, the people who came up with this idea of Lent, makes sense that we would pick 40 days. And then I made this throwaway remark to them that the 40 days of Lent, don't include Sundays. Sundays, is the season of Lent is the only season where we talk about the Sundays in Lent, whereas we talk about the Sundays of Advent, at which point I think I confused them a little bit more and said, but what are you talking about? Well, the thing about Lent is that we pay attention to it in a particular sort of way. Your Lenten observances, whatever they might be, whether you give something up, and just a little reminder that I give every year, you have to give up things you're allowed to have in the first place. You don't give up stealing for Lent. You give up chocolate for Lent, or you give up staying up late. I know a number of people who have given up social media for Lent, which I think for lots of us is a significant sacrifice. But in the process of giving things up for Lent, Sundays are different. Because as Heather and I were talking about it, she said, well, the week is Lent and Easter sort of in microcosm. We fast for 6 days, but Sunday is like Easter. We don't fast at Easter. We don't fast on Sundays. It doesn't mean that you have to stop your observance, whatever it is. But Sundays are different. Sundays are days that are in Lent. They're not part of Lent. Because Lent is a time when we spend some time, as best we can, moving into an identification with Jesus. And the kickoff gospel lesson for Lent tends to be the story of Jesus' temptation, frequently paired with the Genesis story of the first temptation. And we have these two stories, and they're brought together in Romans, where Paul talks about how the first temptation led to everything, and then the salvation that Jesus provided leads to everything else. These two comprehensive moments in human history accomplished by a single human being. But we look at this temptation, we begin this process of thinking about temptation and then moving into an identification with Jesus, where Jesus resisted temptation. But he resisted temptation in this story in a particular way and in a particular time. It's really easy to resist temptation if you're always allowed to pick when it happened. If one of your struggles is overeating, the chances of you resisting that temptation when you're really hungry is slim. But it's pretty easy if you're allowed to choose to resist overeating after you've already overeaten. It's pretty easy to resist the temptation of chocolate when you've just eaten four chocolate bars. Whatever it might be. Temptation is hardest when it comes at its worst possible time, as it did with Jesus. The three temptations that he has pick up on particular things. And we're familiar with these. The first temptation that he should eat after 40 days of fasting makes perfect sense. When would you be more vulnerable to the desire to eat than when you haven't been eating for days and days? At the beginning of his formal ministry, he's given the temptation of everybody worshiping him. At the beginning of his formal ministry. He's given the temptation of being cared for miraculously by angels. These are all things that would be easy to give into. And that's why we choose things at Lent to give up that we can legitimately have. And when we do that, we move into this identification with Jesus. It doesn't make us Jesus, and nobody really thinks that. But what it does is it gives us an insight into Jesus that helps us, not just through Lent, but through all of our lives. It gives us a bit more resonance when we read in Hebrews, where the writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus was tempted in every way as we were and as we are. In his case, he didn't sin. And we pay attention to temptation in a new way, perhaps, in Lent. The temptation to do things that are fundamentally evil is something that everybody resists. There's nothing special about us when we resist the temptation to steal or to lie or to damage somebody's reputation. Everybody tries to do that, whether they are in a relationship with God or not. And that's why in Lent we give up something that we can have. We have made this decision to not eat chocolate. We've made this decision to not snack after supper. Still the most difficult Lenten observation I ever attempted and did okay with, but was not perfect. Whatever it might be, the temptation then to break our self-imposed desire is very similar to Jesus. Because when Jesus came to earth and took on human form just as ours, there was no compulsion that he do that. And Jesus wasn't fleeing something evil to come here. Jesus was making a decision, a choice, to become fully human that we might have that identification. And so when we give up something during Lent, we are making a similar sort of choice to give up something that we can have for a larger good. Now, obviously, we are not giving up things that we might subsequently redeem the world. We're giving up things so that we can get a better understanding of what Jesus did on our behalf. There's lots of other benefits that come with it, and they're not to be dismissed. The benefit of demonstrating to yourself that, yes, you do have some self-discipline is a good thing. It's good to be reminded that you don't have to have some of these things you give up. Or perhaps if you have gone the other way of Lent, it's not just, there are many ways to observe Lent, and they fall into sort of two large categories. You can give something up, or you can add something in, which frequently has a giving up, or at least has a cost as well. A number of people get up a little bit earlier during Lent and add a devotional practice of some sort. They get up earlier and they meditate, if they're able to do so and stay awake, which I am not, or they read a new or a different devotional book, or they take on a new book of the Bible. That's another Lenten observation. It's something you've taken on yourself. And you've taken it on for the act of taking it on, not for the outcome necessarily. Giving up chocolate for Lent is about pushing yourself to look at something you would like and saying no to it because you've decided not to. Not to lose weight. If you happen to lose weight, that's terrific. But the point of Lent is not that. The point is, what does it do within us and within our spirits? A Lenten observation should change us in some way. It doesn't always. We don't always make it the whole way through. We're not divine. We're not perfect. And I don't think any of us think we are. But these Lenten observations, these Lenten practices or disciplines, give us the opportunity to look at ourselves in a new way and sometimes change how we look at ourselves forever. There's this new idea in sort of the business world, particularly in the business world I find myself in during the week, in software development and sort of the high-tech thing. And it's paid lip service more than it's actually paid attention to, and this whole idea of failing forward. And so you have all people talking about how, you know, it's important to fail big and all this kind of stuff. Except, generally speaking, for better or worse, when you fail, you usually get fired. So, like, it's not, it's a great idea that isn't necessarily worked out very well, at least not frequently in the business world. But one of the things about Lent, if one of our outcomes from Lent, one of the things we're hoping for, is a new level of understanding, is a new ability for us to move forward. Sometimes we learn that best when we take on a Lenten observation of some sort, a Lenten discipline, and fail. I have done this. I have taken on a particular kind of thing. I will give up this or that. And realized that I couldn't. Well, that tells me all kinds of things about myself. It may, didn't in this case, it may reveal an addiction, which is a particular issue. It may reveal a bit of a lack of self-control or self-discipline. It may also reveal that I have put something at a level that is more important than where I put my relationship with God. And this isn't may not be what it is for you, but these are the kinds of things that I went through when I tried to do a particular thing during Lent, and I just couldn't. And it forced me to pay attention to the fact that I'd become complacent in my relationship with God over the last little while, and I'd allowed other things to get in the way, and it was no longer as important as it had been before. It was a wake-up call through the failure of a Lenten discipline. The beginning of Lent began on Ash Wednesday just this past week. It's also a reminder of loss. Ash Wednesday, when the ashes are put on your forehead, if you choose to engage in that, are often accompanied with something like a statement, ashes you came, ashes you go, all kinds of different little phrases that you can use to remind us that life still embraces loss. If you pick something to give up that you really like, you're going to notice that every day in Lent. That's the purpose of picking something that you will notice. And we need to be reminded of loss for many reasons. Not least of which, if we try to pretend that we've never lost anything, we're cutting off a part of ourselves that won't be helpful. And also, when we remind ourselves of the reality of loss, hopefully it takes us back to, first, our relationship with God here, our relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, who helps us to fully engage with loss, but also helps us to live through it. This relationship with God helps us to understand who we are, even in the midst of loss. And then when we go past that, we realize that at the end of all things, whether it's our own personal lives or whenever the end of all things happens, whenever and whatever that will look like, that there will be no more loss. The loss will be comprehensively and totally dealt with, and it will never happen again. And it's a sign of hope. Lent is something that when it shows up in popular culture, it's frequently amusing along the lines of people who give up atheism for Lent, which is still my favorite. You see that on television and stand-up comics now and then. But Lent is frequently portrayed as a time to intentionally be miserable, which is not the intention, although sometimes giving up eating after supper, for example, might make you at least temporarily miserable, but that's not the goal. The goal or the point of Lent is, well, there's a number of them. There's that identification with Jesus. There's that deep sense that loss is real. We need to face it for what it is, but that it won't be forever. Lent gives us this new understanding that we can do without things if we need to. We won't blow up. Can't have chocolate, or we have to stop drinking coffee, or whatever it might be. These are good things for us to know. And Lent, perhaps more than anything else, gives us that immediate sense of hope that maybe many of us have lost, because we're looking forward to something. If you've chosen something that's a significant sacrifice to give up during Lent, you will find yourself looking forward to Sundays in a new way, and looking forward to Easter Sunday. That's the most extraordinary thing. When this self-imposed deprivation will be over. We often talk about how good it is, or we encourage each other to live in hope. And it's a good theory, and we all agree in it in theory. But how often do we actually live in hope? We do it a lot when we're little. live in hope for birthdays and Christmas. We look forward to these things in a different way than we do as adults. Although I suppose if you have a poor enough work environment, you might live in hope that the workday will end every day, but hopefully that's not the case. But Lent is not a time to be miserable as much as it's a time to look at who we are as human beings in the human condition, to look forward to when all of these things, all of these losses, all of these difficulties, all of these sacrifices will be over. In these 40 days of Lent, in these few weeks, if we so choose, if we're in a position to put ourselves where we're giving up something, we can look forward to something. Easter, the best day of the year. Better than my birthday, better than Christmas, better than my anniversary. Easter is just the best day of the year. And it becomes even more so. And you're looking forward to it in that sense of, yeah, this won't happen anymore. Whether it's a trivial thing or a really significant thing. It lets us experience what it means to live in hope, to live in identification with Jesus. Be reminded of all of those things that came with the beginning of that relationship with Him. I'm not going to tell you what to do during Lent, because that's up to you. And I'm going to tell you you have to do anything for Lent. I remember in the Lenten season of 2008, my dad had died in November, and I was talking to my stepmother. And she said, I'm not giving up anything for Lent this year. I've given up enough. A human statement. What a lovely encapsulation of what it means to be in this relationship that we are in with God. It's not built on laws and rules that says during Lent you must do this. But she said, in my case, for me this year, it's going to look differently. And so I don't know what it'll be for you this year. But whatever it is, I pray that you look forward to Easter with hope. And it'll give you a new sense of hope. It will spill over into all of our lives that we might live in hope. Amen.